Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
And a very pleasant good morning, everybody. As always, good to be back with you. This is the Marlins Rewind. And last night at Tropicana Field over in St. Petersburg, the Marlins and the Rays were wrapping up a mini and brief two-game series. It was a bullpen game of sorts for Miami. They sent Cody Poteet to the mound. He went opposite of the hard-throwing right-hander Drew Rasmussen of the Tampa Bay Rays. And it turned out to be another one-run game for Miami. Well, the Marlins come up short in what felt like a pivotal game on this eight-game road trip for the Marlins against the Tampa Bay Rays. 21-run games this season. Miami now 6-14 in those contests. And there's no other way to put it, folks. It's starting to get away from them. Miami now 18-24 after suffering this 5-4 setback against the Rays in Game 2 of this abbreviated two-game series here at Tropicana Field over here in St. Petersburg, Florida tonight. Highlights from this ballgame this evening. Well, first news and notes from earlier this afternoon. Miami lost Anthony Bender before the game. He's got lower back stiffness. He was placed on the 15-day injured list that was retroactive to May 22nd. In Bender's absence, Miami opts to put another bat on their bench without Jazz Chisholm tonight, who's not on the shelf, but he was simply unavailable. Miami selected the contract of big leaguer Williams Astudillo, who had seen parts of three big league seasons with the Minnesota Twins. So that was the situation coming into this ballgame tonight. Not to mention, in the last 18 meetings between these two teams, the Miami Marlins were 2-16 in those contests coming into tonight's ballgame. It was a bullpen game of sorts for Miami. They sent Cody Poteet to the mound to make his second start of the season. His first was a dandy on May 17th, 4 2/3 shutout innings versus the Washington Nationals. Drew Rasmussen took the ball for the Tampa Bay Rays tonight. This season he has just got a sparkling 2.33 ERA, 4 wins and a loss in 8 starts, and he was helped out early. He tossed a clean 1-2-3 top of the first, and it was all but clean for Cody Poteet in the bottom half of the first inning. It started with a leadoff walk to Kevin Kiermaier, and then Wander Franco drew first blood. Pitch to Franco is walloped in the air, left field down the line. Soler in pursuit. It's down for an extra base hit. Soler nearly overran the baseball. He just walloped up against the wall in foul territory. Scoring all the way from first base is Kevin Kiermaier. It's a double and an RBI for Wander Franco. It's 1-0 Tampa Bay here in the first. And after a walk to Yandy Diaz and a strikeout of Choi, Randy Arozarena added on. They were the American League champions in 2020. Here's a swing at the ground ball over the bag at third. It's going to roll all the way down the left field line and into the corner. Scoring from second is Franco. Behind him is Yandy Diaz. There will be no throw. It's 3-0 Tampa Bay. And it's a two-run double for Randy Arozarena. And to cap off the scoring in the bottom of the first inning, the next man up was the former Marlin, Harold Ramirez. He homered off of Pablo Lopez last night, and he blasts one deep to left field. Harold Ramirez has given the Rays a 5-0 lead here at the bottom of the first inning. It's a two-run home run. It's his second of the season, and this is a disaster here in Tampa Bay tonight. A 5-run, 3-hit, no error, nobody left on, bottom half of the first inning for the Tampa Bay Rays. And unfortunately, come to find out, that was good enough for the Rays here tonight. But they jumped out to a fast start, a 5-0 lead. Drew Rasmussen worked around a couple of walks in a scoreless second. Cody Poteet started to settle down. He allowed a 2-out double in the second that he worked around. After the 5 runs in the first inning, this Miami bullpen was sensational tonight, but we'll get to that in just a moment. Miami went quietly in the top of the third. Cody Poteet worked around a leadoff walk in the bottom of the third inning. That took us into the fourth inning tonight in a 5-0 ball game, and Miami started to scratch away in the fourth. The leadoff man in the fourth was Jorge Soler. Pitch to Soler. Swung on. Hammered center field. Kiermaier's back. Onto the warning track. Looking up. Goodbye home run, Jorge Soler. Number 9 on the season for Soler. Miami's going to start to try and chip away here in the fourth. It's 5-1. And that they would do. Avi Garcia followed with a single. Brian Anderson followed with a single. The next man up was Jacob Stallings. 2-2 pitch is hit on a line down the left field line. Extra bases for Jacob Stallings. Scoring easily is Garcia. Padrique is going to send Anderson. There won't be a throw to the plate. 5-3 Tampa Bay. Jacob Stallings. A bases clearing. 2-run double here in the top of the fourth. Unfortunately, Stallings at second base with nobody out in the inning. He would advance to third on a ground ball off the bat of Jesus Sanchez, but then Miguel Rojas struck out, and Eric Gonzalez bounced out to shortstop to end that threat in the top of the fourth inning. But after 3.5, it was 5-3. Cody Poteet worked 3 innings tonight. Tommy Nance came on and worked a relatively clean fourth. He did allow a hit. Drew Rasmussen went back out for the fifth. The fifth inning was his last inning tonight. He worked around a leadoff single in the fifth. He got a 5-4-3 double play ball to end that fifth inning. Rasmussen, 5 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs all earned, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. For Poteet tonight, 3 innings, 4 hits, 5 runs all earned, 3 walks, and 1 strikeout. Eliezer Hernandez worked a perfect fifth inning for Miami. Cole Sulcer worked a perfect sixth. Steven Okert struck one out, and he walked, and he allowed a hit in the seventh. And Dylan Floro worked a relatively uneventful bottom of the eighth inning. He did walk the leadoff man, G-Man Choi, who was pinch ran for by Taylor Walls. But let's see here. Then Dylan Floro got himself a 5-4-3 double play to get himself out of that, to get the first two outs, and then he got Harold Ramirez to bounce out to second base in the eighth inning. So a sensational job of the Marlins bullpen tonight. It was 5-3 headed to the top of the ninth inning. Matt Whistler, along with, let me just triple check this for you, Adam Whistler and FireEisen followed Rasmussen in this ballgame tonight. They worked the sixth, seventh, and eighth innings. Those three combined to allow just one hit and strike out 4 and 3 innings of work in the sixth, seventh, and eighth innings following Drew Rasmussen. So top of the ninth inning tonight, Colin Poche, the left-hander, came on for the Tampa Bay Rays. He allowed a leadoff infield single to Brian Anderson. Then Jacob Stallings popped out in foul territory for the first out of the inning. Brian De La Cruz then pinch hit for Jesus Sanchez. He reached on a two-base error by Taylor Walls, who was fresh into the game at third base. And there were runners on second and third with just one out in the top of the ninth inning, and Miguel Rojas was the batter. Ground ball left side. Franco has it. Throws to first. Did he pull him off the bag? Yes! Anderson scores from third. That's going to be another error by this left side of the Rays infield. And Miguel Rojas is safe at first. A run scores from third. Now it's 5-4. He never touched him.
No,
first
he never
and third
touched
with
him.
One out. So with runners at first and third base with one out in the top of the ninth inning, the tying man just 90 feet away. Williams Astudillo came to bat. He pinch hit for Eric Gonzalez in the seventh. His first at bat as a Miami Marlin, he grounded out to third. In the ninth, he flew out to right field for out number two. Garrett Cooper followed in the ninth. He drew a walk facing Poche. The Marlins had the bases loaded in the top of the ninth inning with two outs, and Jesus Aguilar was the last man to bat. Do they go something soft to Aguilar? He is a professional hitter. Poche is set. We'll do it again. Here's the 0-2 offering. Swung on and missed. Strike three. The ball game is over, and the Rays beat the Marlins by a final score of 5-4 here at Tropicana Field tonight. I'm not too sure how many different ways you try to sum that up other than it was certainly a bit of a heartbreaker for the Marlins here this evening. For Miami, 4 runs, 8 hits, no errors. They leave 7 men on base. For the Rays, 5 runs, all coming in the first inning. 6 hits, 2 errors. They leave 4 men on base. We started this ballgame at 6:40, ended at 9:45. Total game time of 3 hours and 5 minutes in front of 7,520 at Tropicana Field this evening. Drew Rasmussen beats Cody Poteet. Colin Poche collects his first save of the season, his third ever career save, all three coming with the Tampa Bay Rays.
Well, another heartbreaker for the Marlins in St. Pete last night. Miami now falls to 18-24, while the Rays improved to 26-17. Before we hear from Don Mattingly and Cody Poteet after last night's ballgame, let's step aside for a quick commercial break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Back with you on the Marlins Rewind this morning. Let's hear from Don Mattingly after his ball club's 14th one-run loss of the season last night.
Don, after giving up five runs there in the first inning, able to hold the Rays to that, then able to get the bats going a little bit, even there in the ninth, making things happen, end up with a loss. How would you sum up this one?
Teeter wasn't sharp in the first. Kind of got his thing going on, and you know, give us a couple more innings. Obviously, the bullpen did a really nice job of keeping us in the game. I thought the guys kept going. That was one of the good things I liked about that game. It's one of those games that can get away from you. Battled back and got in the game and give us some chances.
In the eighth inning there with the Soler home run foul ball call, can you just kind of walk us through what the confusion was and explanation was there?
The confusion for us was that the guy called it fair, and then they changed it on the field to foul. And I don't know, did it end up a confirmed, a stands? What did it end up?
Stands.
Yeah, see, that's the problem for me, is because if they leave the call alone, let them challenge the call, and I just watched it on replay. By watching that, I can't tell if it's fair or foul. And maybe it's foul, maybe it's fair. But I guess the problem is that one guy calls it fair, they overturn it, and now the replay has to overturn that. And Kevin could have challenged it, the home run call, just like I did with the fair, and they could have changed that, right, if they thought it was foul. So I think the biggest problem is the guy closest to it, probably I'd say him and the home plate guy have the best view of it. That's where the call for me comes from, and then let replay deal with it. Fact that they change it on the field, and Dan, I know he means well, but he tells me he sees it clearly from first base, and I'm like a little confused with that, because I can watch it on replay and it's not that clear, right, if that ball goes over or not. So for me, he's out of the equation. The guy at home and third, if they, you know, it's different, but for me, the guy calls it fair, and at the end of the day, it, you know, is what it is.
Eliezer being used out of the bullpen in the fifth, rationale behind that, and what does that do for the rotation moving forward?
Doesn't do anything to it moving forward. It's Eliezer had it was in 8 day between starts. We felt like it's almost like his bullpen. He gets to see hitters and not have to sit 8 days and throw a bullpen and not go out there. So he did a nice job for us, but he's right in his rotation where he fits.
So he'd still, I guess, start Sunday, I think, was the probable.
Yes. In Atlanta.
Yeah. With Coach, obviously, just going back to rotation, I guess there's going to be no off days coming up. Have you guys kind of come up with a plan of what you might do with that fifth spot? You know, it's going to be getting closer.
Yeah, we've been talking about it.
Just you know, obviously you mentioned just Cody, the first anybody was able to bounce back. You know, is there, you know, what he showed today, maybe the start before, that he could be that fifth guy? Or
we like what Cody's doing, period. He had a rough first inning, but he's thrown the ball really well this year. He's threw the ball well when he started. He's thrown the ball well in long relief. He's given us short stints and has thrown the ball well. So we've used him in a variety of roles. He's been really good in all of them. Again, something that we're talking about, what do we do with that? What's the best thing for our team as a whole? Where we fit him? Is he a start? Do we try to fit him in, or is he more valuable out of the bullpen?
Jacob Stallings, what have you seen from him at the plate over the last, 10, 12 days? Seems like he's getting into that groove.
I'd say a lot more than 10 or 12 days. I felt like he was hitting the ball hard a couple homestands ago. Didn't have a lot of luck. But was his at bats, you could see they were good. A lot of solid contact, hitting the ball where it was supposed to be hit. And now he's getting them to fall. So not a lot of difference in the last, probably, I'd say the last 3 weeks to a month. He's been swinging the bat really well.
In the second inning, you guys were starting to get something going, and then Sanchez gets caught up there at second base. That type of situation, even with a late stop sign, that if he's got his head up and he's kind of anticipating something happening there, it keeps him out of that spot.
For sure. You can't go anywhere without the guy in front of you. I think he got caught. I talked to KJ. He looked at it. Sounds like he got caught watching the play instead of just following where you follow your principles. You can't go anywhere with the guy in front of you not going. So, yeah, it's another learning, teaching moment for us.
Astudillo at second looked pretty good out there.
Yeah, he caught it. I thought the turn was good on the double play ball. Andy made a nice play, and he turned it over really well. So, yeah, it was good.
We noticed that Anthony Bass was warming when the game was getting close. Do you plan on using him as the closer going forward, or is that still undecided?
No, I don't think we've ever said we have a closer at this point. We're kind of matched up through the whole game. We've used Sulcer at the very end of the game. Today you see him in his pocket. We felt like that pocket right there coming up was going to be a good spot for Anthony. So we've tried to just continue to match our guys up out of the bullpen and give them the best chance to get outs according to their stuff. And it's been okay. I think the bullpen's thrown the ball pretty well for us. So I don't think we have a real guy that we say we're going to hold the ball. He doesn't pitch unless there's, a save on the line.
The guys on the other side of the stadium, they've kind of not trademarked it, but they very much have done that, I guess, formula and with success over the last few years.
Yeah, and they're a team, I would say they're very good at it. And, they seem to always come up with power arms and different spots. Cash does a great job of mixing and matching. I look at those pennants up there and they say American League champion the last 2 years, or American League East champion the last 2 years, and I know couple years ago they're in the World Series. So they've been pretty good at it.
Don Mattingly after the Marlins lost to the Rays last night. Before we wrap things up, we'll hear from Cody Poteet, who struggled allowing 5 runs in the first inning and put the Marlins behind the 8-ball last night.
Cody, that first inning, the 5 runs, what do you think were your struggles there and what you see from Rays hitters?
Just not getting in good counts to start off. A couple walks and a couple pitches gave up some damage on, so definitely not what the start I wanted, and didn't really give the team the chance to win. What you're supposed to do as a starting pitcher, so not a very good inning for sure.
That next couple innings, though, you settled in. What adjustments did you make?
Well, I'm just trying to attack, get back into that mentality of getting good counts, and try to put up some zeros as long as I was in there. So just focusing on getting to the next pitch. Sometimes it's tough when you have a rough inning like that, but the easiest way to get back on track is just focusing on the next pitch for me.
So you mentioned as a starting pitcher, do you see these as opportunities, almost like auditions to stay in that role?
I don't really think about it that way, so I'm just trying to pitch whatever they want to have me pitch in whatever situation. That's kind of above my pay grade, I guess, just trying to go out there and put up zeros whenever my name's called.
Obviously, like you said, not the start that you wanted, but how about the job from the guys behind you to come in and keep that game at 5?
Yeah, absolutely. Phenomenal job out of the bullpen. A lot of those guys have been doing great all year, so it's really good, and cool to see our team bounce back too in that inning, and almost kind of gives it at the end there, but I wish I would have given us a better chance.
Cody Poteet after the Marlins loss to the Rays. last night. The Marlins are in Atlanta today. They'll enjoy a day off before taking on the Atlanta Braves tomorrow night at 7:20 from Truist Park. It'll be a 7:20 first pitch. Trevor Rogers goes opposite of Ian Anderson. We'll be on the air at 6:50 with Marlins on deck. And as always, we hope you find some time to join us on the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.